Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs 2017 edition. We had a great 2016. I want to thank all our listeners, all our supporters. Keep listening this year. Keep watching on YouTube. We got a lot more stories of entrepreneurship ahead of us. All this week, we're being hosted by our friends over at the accounting firm, consulting firm of Gray, Gray & Gray. Thank you very much. That means I'm sitting beside Rich Hershen.
It's great to have you here. I'm glad we can get 2017 off to a good radio entrepreneur start.
Great. Thanks, Rich. I hope you had a good new year.
It was wonderful.
Great. Now you're getting ready for tax season, right?
Yeah. But that's good. Good opportunity to see your clients and talk about their businesses. And
Well, you know, if we're going to talk about money, protecting money, and protecting people, we got to talk about data security. And last year we had a great guest, invited him back for you, Rich, partially because I think he's interesting. Robert Manele of Davis Malm. Welcome back.
Thanks. Happy to be back.
Especially with the elections, they just never stop talking about security issues, you know.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. It's just one of the things you see from these recent laws involving the president-elect is, let me move this a little closer, with the president-elect, is that hacking happens. It can happen, especially if you're a high-profile target. So if you're a company that has issues in particular, sensitive data, sensitive information, this is the type of stuff that can happen if somebody wants to get to you. And so you need to take protections.
I always assume people are reading my emails. I do. You know, I have a software company that I'm involved with. It's not a client. I'm an active member of the company. And, I've been telling the CEO for 10 years when he talks to me, I go, I just always assume you're reading my emails. And he laughs at me.
It's scary out there. And I mean, it's not a new problem, certainly, but it certainly seems that it's a growing problem of, you know, not just emails getting hacked, people reading information, but stealing credit card information, social security numbers, date of birth. I mean, we see it just in dealing with the IRS and the number of tax returns that have identity theft is way up. And it's such a huge problem that continues to grow and is probably going to get worse before it gets better.
Well, especially with the population getting older, I would think that there's a trend towards hitting millennials and hitting the elderly. Have you seen that as well?
I think that's right. Again, a lot of what's out there is targeted towards unsophisticated users.
Right, the non-rich target.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like the same
thing. By rich, he means my name.
By rich, he means
non-rich versions of the world.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, a lot of it is sending out these, at least at the individual level, the mass emails, and hoping that somebody clicks on something, or like the IRS tax number calls. They call up and say you have to do something, otherwise you're going to be in trouble. In that case, all it takes is somebody to engage in that fake effort, and suddenly the money gets lost. I think there's a lot of at the individual level.
So what, you work with a lot of companies in helping protect their data. What advice do you have for the businesses out there and what they should do? What are the basics that they should tackle?
Yeah, well, the first part of it, again, this is keep in mind one basic information fact, is that we're in Massachusetts. In Massachusetts, every business has to have a written information security plan. It's required by law. There's no minimum size exceptions. Everyone's subject to it. And then you just have to have a plan that's reasonable in light of the size and scope of your business.
You know, I think about the hundreds, if not thousands, of companies that I know, and I think, oh my. I would doubt that even half of them have security plans.
Yeah. It's amazing to me when I reach out to, I work at a law firm, and I ask my fellow partners to recommend my services to their clients. And I'm happy to look at their written information security plans. I'm surprised how many don't have them. And I'm surprised at how many, when they show me the plans, are the ones that they created when the rules passed 6 years ago and haven't updated them since. Those aren't compliant plans, and they really need to be thought through. And the people do have to have a real thought about this, what their business has, and make sure they have reasonable protections in place.
Do all companies need them, or is it just if you're dealing with sensitive data? And I believe there's a definition of what is sensitive data.
Yeah, I mean, the law, the legal obligations attach when you have personal information. And personal information means a name plus a sensitive number. So it's name plus social number, social security, name plus credit card, name plus driver's license. Once you have that personal information, you have it.
Then you have to have a WISP.
Have to have a WISP, yes. So that, in the way that that works then is that every company's going to have one because they're going to have it on their employees. You're going to have your social numbers of your employees every time. So you need at least some type of plan for that. And then, of course, as you have business that involves personal information of clients, of vendors, yeah, you need to make sure your protections are in place. And there's a whole, you can run the gamut on that of from something basic to something that really is elaborate, but the important part is that you have to match the risks of your business and make sure that you think through and cover the important risks.
It seems to me, I mean, there's all kinds of firewalls and all this technology to protect you, but at the end of the day, and I know here at Greg and Gray, we've spent a lot of time in this, it's really educating the end users. And so to be able to recognize fraudulent emails when you get them and being able to, because you can have all the technology in the world, if you're kind of asleep at the wheel and just clicking on anything, you're probably going to get in trouble at some point.
That's exactly right. I mean, again, it's all layers. You need to, part of it is you just have to comply with the state law. You know, you have to have a written plan. You have to have somebody who's responsible for the plan. You're supposed to review it and update the plan annually. You have to have certain network requirements, again, the types of firewalls and intrusion detection and virus upgrades and that type of stuff has to be there. You have to have access control. In other words, if there's sensitive stuff that's only suitable to some people in the company, such as HR information, then only HR should have access to it. You can't just let everybody have access to things. So you have to have all the different requirements that are met. You have to have email encryption. You have to have laptop encryption, again, if you have personal information involved. But putting aside all the formal requirements of a plan and what makes a good plan, training is important because all it takes is the weakest link to be somebody who clicks on something they're not supposed to, which lets somebody into the network, which allows them to take over the network, and then you're in trouble. So training is a good thing.
Yeah. So how do you get into this? What is it that brought you into this field? I mean, it's, I'm guessing, relatively new in the grand scheme of things. What drew you to it?
Yeah, well, part of it is the rest, I have a regulated practice. So I represent energy, telephone, and cable companies. And one of the things that happened back in the day when information started moving online and regulators started realizing that something had to be done about some of this is they passed a set of rules called the red flag rules. They require certain creditors, as it's defined, to they put on the obligation to have a written plan and to have certain risk-based analysis in the plan. And that ended up applying to my cable, telecom, and energy company. So I started writing red flag plans for people. And then when the Massachusetts rules passed, it was an easy transition to take the same plan-building skills I had there and move them into the general space on that. And since then, it's helping clients make sure that they're protected, that they meet requirements, and that when they have a breach, they meet the requirements for breach reporting and analysis on that.
You know, you mentioned a couple of large clients. Have you seen small businesses get themselves in a position where they might go out of business by not following some of these procedures?
I'm trying to think about that. I mean, they certainly have had some that have been a risk, but I'm not sure that they'd be small. They've had a couple restaurant groups that have had serious breaches that dealing with cash register and payment issues that gave them fines and bad publicity. And certainly big ones. I mean, Yahoo's deal just got transformed because Verizon adjusted purchase price and terms because Yahoo had that massive breach. At the small size, I'm not sure. I mean, I have one experience. I remember doing a breach analysis for a small family-owned marketing company. They had like a mailing list business that they would be selling to people all over the country, and somebody penetrated their computer system enough to get something that I would consider to be a breach. So this poor company that was going to sell out to somebody else ended up having to stop, having to do the breach report, had to do a 50-state survey to figure out, because they have to disclose to every single person that they that was in their mailing list across the country, and it ended up blowing up their deal.
You know, I was looking in the last week, I don't know if this relates to it, to a website for a food company that sells a lot online, a lot of online business across Canada, the United States, and I went to their website, and it said their website had been hacked. And so they weren't, and I'm thinking, oh my God, they're not doing any business unless somebody's picking up the phone now, even if they can even find their phone number now.
Yeah, that's very, again, these things are big deals when they happen. Again, and once you get past the employee breaches, which are embarrassing, but when you get to the ones that affect customers, it both, you have to deal with the costs and issues of breach response, and then you have to deal with the reputational issues. When people want to deal with you after you've been breached is a big issue.
When I think of a small company like that that's had its website hacked, I think of angry employees, you know, people locally. I don't think of like, you know, these... Yeah. These, you know, Chinese hackers. Yeah. I don't want anybody Chinese to get mad at me. I just threw the name out. Okay, yeah. Israeli hackers here.
Yeah, that's exactly Russian ones.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think of that. I think of somebody who knows the company that's angry or wants to do something spiteful, or college kids locally who just want to play a prank.
Yeah, it can be all of the above. It can also be inside employees who are disgruntled and decide they want to do something as they're leaving the company. It can be a lot of things on that. There are all these different things that you need to think about and make sure that you avoid the easy ways into your systems. You know, you have locked cabinets for your paperwork, for your paper stuff. You have, you know, when you're ready to fire somebody, you make sure that they're cut off from the network before you fire them. There's all sorts of like things that you just need to think of as you work through your plan to avoid the obvious problems. And then again, if somebody really wants to get you and they know what they're doing, they're going to be very hard to stop. But at least you want to stop the easy stuff.
I always tell people it's always good to live your life well, but underneath the radar.
that's definitely a plus on that. Definitely a plus, because the it is. I mean, I saw a presentation from a in one of these internet security firms, and they talked about how they did an ethical hack of a national law firm. And they actually found that they could not get in through electronic means, that the antivirus, anti-intrusion work were really good. They couldn't get somebody to do the social engineering type email clicks that would let them in. They just couldn't get in. And they had to break in physically. And they ended up being able to, what they did was they got an appointment on the same elevator bank as the law firm. They ended up just going up, checking the place out, going back down. They ended up using laser printers to create fake tags so they could go up and down the elevator with impunity. They ended up riding there with electronic equipment so that they could be able to hack the badges of people at the law firm. And then from there, once they had a fake, they were able to manufacture the way to get through the door. Then they actually would sit in a conference room and hack using hacking techniques until they finally broke through the passwords, were able to take over the law firm's network.
This guy's clearly disturbed.
This is his job?
This is a national, that's exactly, it was a, yeah, the national firm, law firm decided they wanted to see how good their systems were. They hired these groups to hack in, and it took them, they ended up at the end of the day, they actually had cards on them that say, call this person, in case they got arrested. Call this person to make sure that that they were all set.
You know, it makes me think of where we are sitting today, because, you know, they opened up these offices, what, a year ago?
2 years ago.
Yeah. 2 years ago.
Time flies.
In Canton, beautiful offices. Yeah. These are the nicest accounting offices I know.
Yeah.
And then they had these electronic, you know, I don't know, gates as you come through into the office. And now the front door clicks and locks, and I'm thinking, wow, we're in Canton.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is what you have to do. Although Rich always makes sure when I'm coming that they have to do a special frisk of me. They always say, oh, Mr. Davis, and some guard always jumps.
Did you see the snipers in the roof when you enter?
Yeah, they have the secret metal detectors as you went through all that. Yeah.
But it is true. I mean, and our thing, you know, and partly by design, or actually all by design, but this area where the public comes in, there's locked doors. You can't get to the rest of the office.
It's a lockdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? It also, you know, it reminds me, and I know maybe I'm going too far afield, and we had the time today.
Yeah.
You know, when everybody always says to me, do you get scared when you go to Israel? And I go, I don't think I ever feel safer than when I'm in Israel.
Yeah.
Because the whole society is designed around personal and group security.
Yeah.
And, you know, I every time I go into a drugstore or to a candy shop, whatever it is in Israel, because you probably, I'm assuming you haven't been there, I feel so safe because they just build in the systems and they make sure that everybody follows those systems. And I think that's where we're at today. We're in a world where we can't take safety for granted or wait till a mistake before we build the systems. And what you're trying to tell us is build the system ahead of time, and then you probably will never have an issue.
Or at least think about the system. I mean, just say, I'll do an example here through what you just talked about. One of the things you think about is physical security. Now, you guys, Rich, are you on the ground floor here?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything so, about Rich is grounded.
Okay. Now, is there anything that would prevent somebody from looking in the window and seeing stuff on somebody's desk?
I believe there is.
Okay. Well, that's what there is. Are the windows tinted?
I think the windows are tinted.
Or do you? Okay. Because that's one of the things you think about from a physical security standpoint is like, okay, if somebody can look in through the windows, then you need to have a clean desk policy or something like that to at least make sure people turn stuff face down before they leave the office, because otherwise someone could do the easy approach of just looking in the window and seeing what they could find. You know, that's one. The other one, and then, of course, is the front desk security, making sure that somebody can't just ramble through and take stuff. You know, you think about that's the type of thing you start thinking about. Okay, and if physical security is taken care of, great. Then you move to the next checklist item. You think about the computer systems.
It's really quite compulsive when you think about it, how we have to be.
Yeah, you need to that's the thing. You need to think about it. You need to think what layers you have and then systematically go, okay, can I solve this problem here? Good, it's done. Can I do this problem here? Done. That's why the plan part is really important. The other thing I was going to say on plans is that you also should give thought to what happens if you are breached. In other words, you want to think ahead of time about having an incident response plan so that you're not just throwing up your hands and running around like a chicken when you have a breach in place. You should think about who would be your internal committee for your incident response plan. So you want to have your responsible person for the plan. You want an HR person. You want an IT person.
Response team, just like terrorism.
That's exactly it. You need. That's exactly what you want. If you're going to have... Like, if you think it's gonna, you have computer systems that can be done, you probably should talk to a computer forensics firm ahead of time so that you can pick up the phone and call them if there's a problem. You think about having your outside data security console that you can pick up the phone. You don't want to be inventing these things at the last minute. You even may want, if you have an in-house PR person, have a PR person ready to go, because you need to have the internal communications and the external communications to say, don't talk about what we're doing now in an email. Because
you've opened up a can of worms that I don't have time to discuss today, because I actually think sometimes those emergency PR response organizations, and I have a marketing background, create press. And sometimes what you don't say doesn't get responded to. And you need to know when to shut up. And too many times when you bring in a PR firm, their natural response is, let's send something out. And sometimes better say nothing than something. And I have experience with that, but I won't get into it today. If somebody wants to find you, think about that. Robert, if somebody wants to find you, clearly it's a pretty important issue. I know Rob's going to Rich is going to probably follow up with you himself.
Sure.
How would other people find you other than Rich?
You can go through my law firm. It's Davis Malm, that's LAMNLMALM, and D'Agostine, so D'Agostine. So it's in Boston, Davis Malm, D'Agostine. You can Google me, Robert Munnelly.
If you Google Davis Malm, it comes up too. I was checking it
Davis
out before
Malm,
the interview.
That's exactly it. I would say
did
that's.
Did you break into that system?
I was able to hack into his system.
Exactly. That's easy way to do it. Just reach out to me. I'm happy to talk to anyone. I'm not going to set the clock running to bill you until we actually have work to do. So feel free to give me a call. Happy to talk. And especially for the entrepreneur, the new startup businesses, I find that's endemic, that they tend to put data security at the back of the list. They should probably get something in place early and then revise it as their business grows.
Well, Robert, a pleasure having you back. You got to come back with a case, even if you have to sort of
We want some good stories.
Yeah, we want
to make Radio Entrepreneurs the movie.
That's what I was thinking. This is going to make a movie. You got to come back with some real cases for us.
Okay, I'll give you one very...
Not today.
Not today. I can see.
No, we got to keep it's a teaser.
You're an interview, not a whole show, Robert.
Okay, that's fine.
We call it a teaser in the business here.
Jeff, it's been a pleasure as always.
This is not... You're not getting billable time for this. This isn't based on time.
No, that's exactly... I'll do contingency. How's that?
Sounds good.
Contingency interviews.
Yes. Great having you.
Well, Robert, it's a pleasure having you on the show. Okay. Pleasure always being at Gray and Gray with Rich Hershen. Yeah. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Great. Thanks a lot.